AirTran gets a new hurricane-proof headquarters in Orlando. Eclipse Aviation celebrates an all-time industry production record for 2007. And airlines are getting creative in fighting rising fuel costs. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, January 3rd, 2008. Officials with the state of Florida and AirTran Airways were expected to sign a $7 million deal Wednesday to build a new hurricane-hardened command center for the low-cost carrier at Orlando International Airport. The Orlando Sentinel reports funding will come entirely from the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority and the state. In exchange, AirTran will keep its headquarters in Orlando. The airline is also expected to announce 121 new jobs over 3 years at an average annual salary of $45,000. AirTran had hinted its headquarters might move to Atlanta to be co-located with its flight hub if it couldn't find a way to protect its operations from hurricane disruptions. The topic has been a hot one in Florida since 4 major hurricanes strafed the state 2 years ago, causing insurance underwriters to sharply increase rates for companies at risk in the hurricane belt. Florida Governor Charlie Crist calls the aviation industry and headquarters operations, quote, critical to our plans for economic growth, unquote. It's not as many as company officials had hoped for, but it's still a record. Eclipse Aviation rang in the new year with an announcement it had produced and certified 104 Eclipse 500 very light jets during 2007. That makes Eclipse the quickest manufacturer ever to reach 100 jet aircraft. The company says that Cessna, the former record holder, reached the 100 mark with a Citation 550 aircraft in about 18 months and is now in second place. President and CEO Vern Rayburn says that after a year of breakthroughs and setbacks, Eclipse Aviation is nearing its goal of producing one aircraft per day. Fuel represents about a third of airline costs. So why haven't airline ticket prices risen to match the spike in oil prices? The Boston Globe found various airlines cutting costs in some places you'd expect and some you might not. Alaska Airlines plans to replace 16 MD-80 aircraft with 737-800s, which use 18% less fuel, and to increase the use of satellite navigation to shorten routes. American is making aerodynamic modifications to the tail cones on its MD-80s, using less paint on aircraft to reduce weight and prevent drag-causing chipping, and using beverage carts that are 20 pounds lighter than older models. Delta is among airlines retrofitting planes with winglets to save about 3% in fuel. Delta has also invoked the most direct fuel conservation tactic, canceling some flights and declining to renew leases on some aircraft. For some airlines, grounding aircraft and canceling flights have not been voluntary conservation moves. MaxJet Airways and Big Sky Airlines both announced in the last few days they will sell off their aircraft and cease operations. Just before the one-year anniversary of the infamous American Airlines strandings in Austin on December 29, 2006, two passengers have sued the carrier, alleging they were victims of false imprisonment, fraud, and negligence. One of the plaintiffs is Kate Hanai, founder of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. The other is Catherine Ray, who, like Hanai, was stuck on board a plane diverted to Austin for hours and was not allowed off. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the lawsuits seek unspecified damages and legal expenses. American Airlines spokesman John Hotard stressed that airline learned from the experience and updated its system for dealing with storm-related delays and diversions. But Hanai points out that none of the changes promised have been put into an enforceable contract of carriage, which is why her coalition has sought action from Congress and the DOT. The suits are not without precedent. Lawyers filed a class action lawsuit against Northwest Airlines in 1999, covering over 7,000 passengers stuck for nearly 11 hours during a fierce Detroit snowstorm. The airline eventually settled out of court for $7 million. Up next on ANN, Skybus says, stop whining and read the fine print. Boeing's Dreamliner order book tops 800. And could FAA-NATCA relations be thawing under Sturgill? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 3rd, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Federal Aviation Administration Acting Chief Robert Sturgill, who's still awaiting congressional confirmation to take over the post permanently under a five-year contract, has asked for a second meeting today with Patrick Forey, president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Government executive calls the meeting, intended to address differences in strategies for improving aviation efficiency and safety, a sign that the relationship between the union and the FAA could be improving. Forey has publicly disagreed with FAA's focus on technology and managing delays, and has been critical of the changes in how the agency evaluates its own performance to produce better results. NATCA also remains insistent that the FAA return to the bargaining table and end the contract conditions it imposed on controllers after earlier negotiations failed. SkyBus Airlines still plans to expand service at North Carolina's Piedmont Triad International Airport in the coming weeks, despite the setback caused by canceled flights on Christmas Day. SkyBus stranded holiday travelers when it canceled 8 Christmas Day flights in and out of Columbus, Ohio, due to mechanical problems. 10 more flights were canceled the next day. None of those affected flights served Piedmont Triad. SkyBus spokesman Bob Tenenbaum told the News Record it was a regrettable situation, but, quote, safety is the first consideration, unquote. Aggravating the situation for the up to 1,200 passengers affected was the fact that SkyBus handles customer service only through its website and has no reservation agents or even phone lines. The airline also has no cooperative agreements with other airlines to find alternate flights for passengers. That miffed some travelers, but Tenenbaum is unapologetic. He says the policies are clear and passengers need to know what they're buying. Quote, people who are uncomfortable with that probably need to look elsewhere, unquote. The Boeing Company announced on Wednesday that Vietnam Airlines and Vietnam Aircraft Leasing Company have finalized an order for 12 Boeing 787s worth $2 billion at list prices. The combined order is included in 2007 numbers and runs the 787 order book to a total of 802. The airline's first 787 from a previous order is scheduled for delivery in 2009. Vietnam Airlines plans to operate 28 Dreamliners by the year 2020. Despite recent political unrest, the Pentagon Monday awarded Lockheed Martin a $498 million contract to supply Pakistan with 18 F-16s. Reuters reports the deal includes 12 F-16C fighters and 6 F-16D two-seat trainers. The decision comes following the assassination of former Premier Benazir Bhutto, who was an outspoken critic of President Pervez Musharraf. The country's scheduled January 8th election has since been postponed till February 18th. Last month, Congress placed restrictions on military aid given to Pakistan, requiring that $250 million of the $300 million budgeted must be spent directly combating terrorism. Lawmakers also want the rest withheld until the White House can offer proof Pakistan is moving toward democracy. Still ahead, a historian tells the stories of some of World War II's most forgotten aviators. Spaceport America says it can recover from a schedule setback. And a simulator pioneer celebrates his golden anniversary. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, January 3rd, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Historian Claudio Meunier has spent a decade looking up World War II veterans and their forgotten stories for a book and a new documentary. But this one's a different twist on the theme of the Greatest Generation. These veterans were young men from Argentina who went to Britain and Canada to fly missions against the Nazis. Reuters observes that until now, historians have focused on foreign pilots coming from Czechoslovakia, Poland, France, and Norway, all of which were occupied by German forces. But more than 800 young men from officially neutral Argentina, some of them schoolboys, rushed to sign up as pilots. The first danger many faced was a long boat trip to Europe through U-boat-infested waters. About 400 of the volunteers eventually became pilots. 150 didn't live to come back home to Argentina. Those who did found an atmosphere in which Nazi war criminals had found refuge, which made telling stories of fighting Hitler risky. Meunier told Reuters a few of the World War II veterans fought again in 1982, ironically against Britain, in the battle for the Falkland Islands. His book, written with Carlos Garcia, is titled Wings of Thunder. The Spanish-language documentary, Voluntarios, was shown recently in Canada to honor Argentine volunteers who flew with the RCAF, but the documentary is not in commercial release. The Las Cruces, New Mexico Sun News reports that a scrapped environmental impact statement has forced the groundbreaking for Spaceport America to be delayed till November 2008, but a spaceport official told the paper the opening of the facility is still calendared for early 2010 to coincide with anchor tenant Virgin Galactic's start of operations. There have already been launches from the site by private companies, but most have not been announced in advance to keep space buffs and competitors from learning and leaking trade secrets. It seems hard to believe, but one of the most innovative suppliers of high-tech flight training simulators is celebrating its golden anniversary. Rudy Frasca, founder and president, says Frasca International is preparing to celebrate a half century in the business. Quote, I founded Frasca International in 1958 after working as a flight simulator instructor and maintenance engineer in the Navy. I'm extremely proud of where we are today and the positive impact we've had on flight training worldwide. Unquote. Frasca plans various events and celebrations throughout the year. The company employs over 160 people at its factory in Urbana, Illinois, and relies on sales agents and service engineers around the world. The company is one of the few privately owned simulator manufacturers in the business, with three generations of the Frasca family involved. The company provides a complete range of flight training equipment for all aircraft types and transitioned from analog simulation to digital systems using PC technology in 1983. And finally, although you might not expect it in a city more recently famous for bulldozing runways than building them, Chicago's O'Hare International Airport prides itself on having one of the world's two busiest airports. AP reports that for the third year in a row, according to preliminary FAA data for 2007, Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport retained its title as the nation's busiest airport, measured by number of flights. Hartsfield saw 994,466 takeoffs and landings during 2007. That's up 1.8% from 2006. O'Hare saw 935,000 operations, down 2.4% from 2006. Dallas-Fort Worth International was a distant third at 686,711. Atlanta airport officials said Hartsfield-Jackson's increase came from growing demand for air travel in the metro Atlanta area and successful growth strategies by Delta and AirTran, both of which have hubs in Atlanta. Hartsfield-Jackson added a fifth runway last year. Chicago O'Hare is trying to expand but faces what's expected to be a long NIMBY battle. The Associated Press reports it left a message seeking comment on Atlanta's three-peat from the Chicago Department of Aviation. As of our deadline, that call had not been returned. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk about the Experimental Aircraft Association's 2008 agenda with Earl Lawrence, EAA's VP of Industry and Regulatory Affairs. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.